Welcome to the Women in E-Commerce Feel Free to Prosper teleclass. I'm Heidi Richards-Mooney, founder of Women in E-Commerce, and your host today. I'm so excited you've joined us because I know this call could change your life and mine forever. Is it possible to have the universe on speed dial? Is there really a way to manifest unexpected income, unexpected business, and unexpected solutions to your most pressing problems in just 2 weeks or less? This is the promise of prosperity teacher Marilyn Janae, and is not a promise made lightly. Thousands of people have applied her simple, fast, and practical techniques to gently create a new dominant thought in the subconscious mind, create a pipeline to their universal source of supply, and manifest such striking results. Marilyn overcame her own lack consciousness to create her former business of 2 decades that attracted the world's largest corporate clients and major media publicity, including the cover of the Los Angeles Times. She did this solely through applying the prosperity laws that she now teaches in her Feel Free to Prosper program, a simple but powerful lesson and mentoring program based on mental and spiritual laws. And now Marilyn passionately teaches others to put the universe on speed dial through her amazingly simple and proven methods. Marilyn's teachings attracted a major publisher, and the first book to be released is Feel Free to Prosper, 2 Weeks to Unexpected Income with the Simplest Prosperity Laws Available. I've known Marilyn for years and am a great fan of her work. I'm so pleased to have her with us today to take the mystery out of these esoteric laws and share valuable information. So, Marilyn, thank you so much for being with us and welcome today.
Thank you, Heidi. I'm really happy to be here with you. We've done conferences together before, and it's been a few years, and it's always wonderful to have you on the line with me.
Thank you. Well, actually, I think it's our fourth time together, so this is really exciting for me. And Marilyn, it's obvious that you've personally been using the principles you are about to share with our listeners. Tell us, what was the impetus for you to decide to be a teacher of these principles?
Actually, I don't think I decided to be a teacher. I think it was decided for me. I know it was decided for me, but many years ago, 30 years ago, I really set out on a journey to overcome my own poverty consciousness. Let's say lack consciousness, another word for poverty consciousness. My parents were really good people, but they left me with a consciousness about money that was very negative. Very struggle-oriented, and I knew, something in my soul knew that there was a better way, that there was an answer, there was a key to what makes some people successful and some not, and I knew, I was driven, something in my soul was reaching out to find the answer and to learn what I can do to make something of my life. I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to be on my own. I wanted to have my own business, and yet I didn't have the consciousness to do that. So what I did do, and I was led to the most brilliant minds in mental and spiritual science, not to devalue the teachers of today, but my teachers were the icons that came before us, and the great minds and the legends in this work. And I buried myself in the studies, and then there came a point, there were some breakthroughs, but it came a point where I knew I had to have a major breakthrough. And I had all of this information in my head. I knew the information. I had read. I had studied. And I knew it was time to apply it, not just read and not to intellectualize it, but to put it to use. And actually, I put to use the techniques. I pulled from these teachers the essence of their techniques and applied the same principles that I teach today. And within a very short time, I'm skipping over a lot of detail, but there came a point where within a couple of months, I was on the cover of the LA Times with my new business. It was like a magic carpet ride. I never could have had imagined that could happen before, but it was when I really focused and did the homework and did the apply the work that my breakthrough came. And my 15 minutes of fame, my new business, I came up with a business idea. My 15 minutes of fame turned into a 20-year career where I was servicing the biggest corporations in the world. And I say this literally, and people don't, they say, you don't mean this literally. Well, I do. In that 20 years, I never marketed, I never advertised, I never cold called. I never networked, and yet my little one-woman company attracted the world's largest corporations as clients. I never looked for them. They found me. And that was the breakthrough. That was the turning point. I did not know. I never knew that I would ever teach these principles. I did this for myself. I studied to help myself. I applied this to help me. And it wasn't until 25 years later that I was led and encouraged to teach, and there were a series of events, and I seemed to be pushed in that direction, and I listened. I had learned to listen, to tune in and listen to that guidance. And that is the ultimate goal of these teachings. There are mechanics involved in these laws, in the application of the, quote, let's call it the homework. But the real purpose of my teaching, the real purpose of getting involved in this lifestyle, in the prosperity consciousness, is to create that alignment with an intelligence that knows all the answers. That intelligence has gifts for you that you can't even imagine. And when you become aligned with that power, that intelligence, that creative force, and I don't care what you call it. You can call it God or universe, spirit, higher power, infinite intelligence. I don't care if you call it the quantum field or formless substance. We're talking about that, the same thing. We're talking about that power that has the ability to turn everything around for you and to bring you the answers to everything that you desire.
So, Marilyn, how did you discover these laws? I mean, did you, like, read a book? Did someone tell you about them, or did you just kind of stumble upon them? And, I mean, these are not things I think people know consciously, but subconsciously, correct?
I think that somewhere at some internal level, at some subliminal level, we do know, have this information. It may be at a soul level. But we are conditioned from the time we're very young to a different way of life. Most of us have not been brought up and conditioned in our formative years to success and prosperity. There should be a manual for a human manual, but more importantly, before a woman gets pregnant, before a couple has a child, I think it should be mandatory that they take a class on the power of words and the power of the mind. So how did I learn? As I said, I buried myself in the teachings of the masters, who I consider the greatest teachers that ever lived in the area of manifestation laws, the mental and spiritual laws. And I gleaned from those teachers what worked for me. In other words, I took that information and somehow my mind received what I needed to receive in order to create change. Now, what I've done all these decades later is I've taken that knowledge, the essence of that knowledge, and put it in a very simple form, because most people, they read about these things. They read about the laws, and most of us have been, even now it's become more mainstream, but even before it became mainstream, most people have had some idea of what something going on, but it's more intellectualized. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to take these abstract ideas and incorporate them in their consciousness so that they can actually use them. We know that the law of gravity works, but we don't have to understand physics. We just know if we step off a tall building, we're going to fall. We know if we don't align ourselves with the law of gravity, we'll have a mishap, right? As long as we align ourselves with the law, we'll be fine. We'll stay out of harm's way. Well, it's the same way with these laws that govern our existence, that govern our mind and our lives. And we don't have to understand quantum physics to understand, to have these laws work for us. We just need to know what to do. So the simplicity, taking it out of the esoteric, out of the philosophy, out of the intellect, and just applying the nuts and bolts techniques is all that's necessary to change your life. One of my great teachers was Dr. Joseph Murphy. Some of you may have heard of him. He was very famous. He wrote The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which back then in the 60s was translated into, I think, 62 languages. And I was blessed to know Dr. Murphy, and he used to say, Marilyn, do the homework and you'll get the results. And that's what I tell my students. Just do the homework, you'll get the results. So, right. Yes, these laws I learned from, you know, I didn't invent these laws. I'm the messenger. Where all teachers have, you know, every teacher has a different way of expressing the laws, and I was drawn to those teachers who appealed to me and who I could learn from to understand, and then I just put it to work. And And yes, books, oh my gosh, the books, the reading. But, you know, you can read, Heidi, you can read, people are reading the books and going to seminars and watching The Secret. You can go from one seminar to the next book, to the next teacher, to the next movie. And really, I'd rather somebody would take one technique, take one prosperity technique, one principle, and put it to use instead of running around looking for the magic pill.
Well, and if they just, you know, I also think that you can follow too many people, and everybody does, as you said, has a different way of presenting the information. And if you find someone that resonates with you and has proven that it works for them, why not listen to that person, take it in, and practice what they're teaching rather than trying to find it from 10 different sources? I mean, those 10 different sources could certainly be a kind of confirmation that this is the right way to go, but I think that, you know, a lot of people tend to follow so many people that they don't, it's almost like too much information, I think.
Well,
so
that's,
I agree
that's
with
actually,
you.
That's actually a good point. As far as following too many people, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning, or at least following their teachings for a while. Absorb. That's your study period. Absorb. But, you know, find the teacher, find the book, find the process that you can put to use. I can't emphasize that enough, is that just learning it, just having it in your head is not enough. I studied many of the great teachers, but they had different ways of expressing it, but they all said the same thing. Okay, I didn't really have to know what worked for them in their lives. I trusted. I just knew these were masters in these laws, and I decided to put what they were teaching to work. So I'm going to be repetitious, but repeat. But that's good. It's reinforcement. It's not about just learning and having it in your head. You need to apply it. You need to take the process that you resonate to, take the teacher you resonate to, and put it to work. Put it to work until you see results. You said something very interesting about too much information. When I was encouraged to teach 7 years ago, I said to the universe, and there were many things happening that pushed me in that direction, and to be honest with you, I couldn't stop it if I wanted to. At the time, I was booking these huge venues for Campbell's Soup came out of the blue, but one of the biggest clients in my career. As I started teaching, I said to the universe, you know, how can I, this isn't a livelihood. I was selling lessons at the time on a social networking site where I met you, Heidi, and said, how could I, is this a viable a course for me? What am I doing here? Give me a sign. So I talked to the universe. I said, universe, give me a sign. And out of the blue, Campbell's Soup came and ended up spending $450 million to promote to children. And I was their key vendor. The castle you see on my website is the castle in England, Eastnor Castle, that I booked twice for them. And I booked the Hollywood Mansions and the island in the Caribbean. And I had never done events like that. It was a promotion for children who would win. Millions of kids would enter the promotion and win that location, that venue for a week. And it was perfect. It didn't take much of my time. I made chunks of money. It was a perfect cushion as I grew Feel Free to Prosper. And I said, thank you, universe. That's a very good sign. It told me that I was following my destiny. And as long as I continued to help people and followed what my heart wanted me to do, I would be provided for. But then again, I had a lot of practice in this idea of the universe providing, being tuned in to my supply, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But you said something about the overload, and that reminds me that when I started teaching, when I felt that I had to teach this, I said, okay, if I'm supposed to teach this, I said to the universe, if I'm supposed to teach this, give me a method, give me a way to teach people that they could, that it's easy, it's got to be easy, it has to create quick results, they have to be able to grasp this and create quick results without having to go through my 30-year journey. And what came through was two points. You cannot overload the subconscious, and you cannot confuse it if you want results. And I had a lot of background in the subtle areas of the subconscious. I won't get in too much detail there, but I had really studied a lot in the areas of the subconscious that even a lot of the modern teachers don't know, and those subtleties can make all the difference in the world. Well, those two subtleties, you don't overload, you don't confuse. Simplicity is the key. simple lessons, simple, you know, if you think about the advertising and the marketing industries, they've known that for decades, simplicity is key. You don't remember the whole commercial. Remember the tagline. Simplicity drops into the subconscious mind. And what we're doing, what we do with these teachings to create a prosperity consciousness, is we create a new dominant thought in the subconscious. That's what we do. That's the mental laws, is we need to deal with the subconscious. The subconscious mind is our liaison to universal mind. But first we have to deal with what the conditioning that we've had from the time, most of us have had from the time we're very young. So we create a new dominant thought in the subconscious mind, and by doing that we open up that pipeline that goes to universal mind, and that's where we're connected to all of the answers and the guidance and the synchronicity, which I love, the synchronicity that happens when you're tuned in that flow. But overload and confusion, yes, you don't want to. So simplicity is key. Don't think because a program has all kinds of workbooks and all kinds of information and lots of homework, that's not necessarily the, I don't believe that is the key. Simple techniques, and apply them, and you will get results.
And you've had some amazing people who've gone through your courses, and they've all said the same exact thing, and they've all had really positive results, sometimes, oftentimes, I would say, that have been beyond what they even expected. I know all I have to do is even think about working with you and things start happening positive in my life. I told you I just completed a project that has taken me 5 years, and all of a sudden I started thinking, I was listening to one of the sessions that I had taken, oh, I guess 3 years ago, and I started listening to it again, and I said, you know, I got to get off my butt, and I really got to get this done, and I got to apply this stuff, and it's not hard, as you said, it's very simple, and I got the project done in a week, and I was so amazed and excited, and I said, you know what, and then all of a sudden, you showed up in my life, so thank you for being here today, and sharing this with us, and I know we're going to only tip the iceberg today, but at least we'll give people an idea of you know, the potential that this has for them in their lives.
We're also going to give them some very good working tips. They're going to get some information
absolutely
they can use. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then let's talk a little bit about the basis of mental and spiritual principles.
Well, as I said earlier, I call it mental and spiritual principles because there is the mental component, where we're dealing with the subconscious, we're dealing with the mind. So we're dealing with mental laws, the laws of mind. And yes, there is a spiritual component, and that's not religious, although it may be aligned. It is aligned with all religions, all the great religions, but we're not talking about religion. We're talking about spiritual law that would encompass everyone. I mean, it encompasses everything. And what we're doing is we're using the mental laws to open our consciousness to become aligned with spiritual law. And as I said earlier, there are laws of chemistry, there are laws of mathematics, there are the laws of gravity, we know the laws of physics. These are very definite laws that that govern our existence. And we don't learn that in school. We need to start learning that in school. We need to learn that before we grow up and get out in the world. We need to understand how these laws work. It's becoming, as I mentioned, more mainstream now. But still, people are still, they're getting a sense that it exists, but what I'm seeing is people aren't using it. They're not using this knowledge. So, yes, the mental and spiritual laws, I call them prosperity principles. And prosperity isn't just about money, you know, it's about all aspects of life. But the spiritual law, when you're under that jurisdiction of spiritual law, you're in a flow. You're in a zone that you're just carried through. Everything just happens naturally. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you start getting a response from the work you do. Now, okay, let's ask this. How do you know these laws exist? How do we know? Besides the fact that I tell you they exist, or this book or that movie tells you it exists, here's how you know these great laws and this great power in the universe exists. You know because of the response that you get when you align yourself with it. So when you do the homework and you get the results, you know something's going on. You're connected to something, and then it happens again and again, and it keeps building your confidence, and then you know you are not alone, that you are part of something much greater. We're all part of something much greater. And that's the spiritual component that we that in in my teaching anyway, that I want my students to strive for. Now, as far as being a teacher of these laws, I consider myself a teacher or a mentor. And my definition of a mentor is you can lean on me at the beginning. You can use me as your bridge to learn and to start processing. But the definition of a mentor to me is I need to get you to tap your own resources. You don't need me. You need to be able to tap in, use these mental laws and be able to tap in to what you want whenever you want it, to be able to attract what you need when you need it, to become aligned with that laws. And that's the job. That's my job, is to get you to become aligned with that intelligence that has all your answers. I'm telling you, when you get those responses, that is the greatest thing in my life. That's the greatest thing in my life. I don't think there's anything greater in life when you become attuned to that intelligence. And everything that you have in your life, the love, your family, your children, your spouse or partner, your jobs, your career, and your spirituality, it all comes from that force. It comes from that intelligence.
So then, is there such a thing, Marilyn, as trying to create success? And if so, why does it not really work?
You mean, are you emphasizing the word trying?
Trying, when you're trying to create success. Because I think that, you know, we're talking about, you know, using you as a mentor and then tapping into our own will, if you will, or powers. But I think that sometimes we try too hard. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the one who's trying too hard. I don't know.
Oh, you might be, but everybody does at times. But here, let me tell you about a law. This can help you quite a bit. There's a law that no one talks about this. I learned about it so many decades ago, and yet I don't hear anybody talking about it. But it's an important law. It's called the law of reversed effort. And that law states that what it means is that the harder you try to do something, the less chance you have achieving it, because trying implies a negative to the subconscious mind. Trying, first of all, trying doesn't keep something in the present moment. The trying implies a negative. If you try to do something, there's also the chance you may not do it. So that's really not stepping out in faith, is it? The only reference to the law of reverse effort that I've heard in modern times is from the movie Star Wars, when Yoda said, "We do, there is no try." He knew. Yoda knew.
He knew.
He knew. There is no try. Yeah, trying. So the harder you try to do something, remember this, the harder you try to do something, the less chance you have of achieving it. And I will
explain what
you need to do to achieve.
And I think that's an important principle to keep in mind, because I think sometimes we do try too hard, and then we wonder, why are we not getting that client? Why are we not getting that success? Why aren't the things showing up in our universe? And I guess that's what I was trying to get to.
I'm going to tell you, want to know the underlying reason why it doesn't work? I'll give you some advanced, this is lesson three, and feel free to prosper, but I'm going to give you the secret of manifestation here. Okay, well, there are two secrets I want to share with you today, but let me give you one. This will tell you why the trying doesn't work at a really basic psychological and dealing with the mental laws and the mental level, why it doesn't work. Okay. And if you turn this around, you will learn what does work. Okay. In consciousness, in the subconscious and in consciousness, it's always now. It's never anything but now. 10 minutes from now, it's going to be now. And a week from now, it's going to be now. And a year from now, it's going to be now. There is in the subconscious only knows now. And in consciousness, there is only now. There is no past or future. The past is a memory. It doesn't exist. It's a memory in our minds. And by the way, I'm going to backtrack just a moment here. The subconscious mind is the greatest computer you can ever imagine. It is a perfect memory of everything that you have ever heard, said, felt, experienced. Perfect memory. It keeps our heart beating, our lungs breathing. It has a memory of every cell in the body to heal us. It was supposed to be static in order to keep our autonomic nervous system and to keep those things working. Imagine how many times your heart beats in a lifetime and you take a breath in a lifetime. But it wasn't designed to take in all that negative debris that we've gathered all our lives. But we can't delete anything from the subconscious, but as I said, we create a new dominant thought. Okay? But the subconscious mind only knows now. The past is just the memory recorded in the subconscious, and those memories are locked into our body. There's something in our mind called neural pathway. And when we create a new dominant thought, we're actually creating new neural pathways in the brain to have different results, because our life will be an outcropping of those neural pathways, of those thoughts and feelings that are recorded and that are the grooves in our mind. Okay, now we only know in consciousness. So you've got that point. Always now in consciousness. And this is very important, so listen to this carefully. The subconscious mind can only create for us what it believes is an existing reality. I'm going to repeat that. The mind can only create for us what it believes is an existing reality right now. So, what you are thinking and feeling right this moment is your future. When your subconscious mind believes you have 5 new clients, those clients, it's compulsive. The mind is compulsive. It has to bring you those clients. You'll either be guided to them or inspired to take the action to find them, or they'll come to you out of the blue with no action. And we can talk about no action. People love when I talk about that, because my greatest successes have come when I took no action. And I'll be happy to go on Larry King and argue that with any metaphysical teacher out there. But we'll talk about the difference between mental and physical action in a moment. But if our subconscious can only create for us, if mind can only create for us what it believes is an existing reality, if you're saying that you're trying to do something, go back to trying, or that you will do something, or you're trying to do something, what is the message you're giving your subconscious mind?
That it hasn't happened yet, and so it doesn't
do anything about it. You're telling
your
subconscious you don't have it. And a subconscious believes you don't have it, and therefore you won't have it. So the trick, the secret to manifestation is to convince your consciousness, to accept in your consciousness that you do have those clients. And the minute, and whether it's a client or money or the need or your rent or your mortgage or passing an exam or your health, the minute the subconscious gets the message that it is an existing reality, it will move, it will connect with universal mind and move mountains in the universe to get your solution, because that's the way mind is. It, the law, it's compulsive, and it has to create the solution. But we must imprint in our consciousness the thought and feeling that what we want exists. In fact, there's an analogy my students love about that I'd like to share with you. It's really a very simple way of explaining how the conscious and the subconscious mind works. May I go into
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's think of the conscious mind as the husband, the male, the assertive aspect of mind, decision maker. Of course, we're not talking about relationships now. We're talking about mind. But let's say the husband is the decision maker, the conscious, the reasoning, this assertive aspect of mind. The subconscious mind is the female, the receptive, passive, receptive aspect of mind. The husband has an idea, a desire. And the husband has to impregnate the wife with that new seed thought, that new desire, goal. And when the subconscious, the wife becomes impregnated with that idea, with that new idea, a union is formed. From that union, children are born. Those children are your answered prayers. So we have to use our conscious mind, that's what we desire. What we want is in our conscious mind. We have to fill that idea into the subconscious until it accepts it, until it becomes pregnant with it. Subconscious is pregnant with your idea. You have to attract it. You have to have it. Your baby will be born. It's that simple.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about business, jobs, clients, customers. And I know that at one time you had said that those things were not really your source of income. Why is that?
Well, they're not. And this is another one of those laws, one of Maryland's laws, or Maryland's interpretation of that law, that gets so many results for my students. If you can grasp this and really grasp it, this will turn your whole life around, and it could very speedily.
That's why I asked it.
Well, hopefully we're going to turn around some lives today. Your job, your business is not your source of income. Clients are not your source of income. Your investments are not a source of income. Your husband or wife or partner's income is not a source of income, or your savings, retirement funds, your investments. None of those are your source of income.
Wow.
There's only one source. There's only one source for your supply, and that source is that power, that intelligence, God, universe, spirit, infinite intelligence, divine mind, quantum field. Again, we're talking about, people have different belief systems. So, we conceive that power in different ways, but we're talking about that source. That is the source of our supply. The universe is the source of our supply. There is no other source. All of those other things, your job, your clients, your business, your spouse, those are channels of supply. They're channels of income. And the problem is that most people turn their business or their job into the source. And what you do when you put your reliance on that channel, you are closing off all of the thousands of channels that could be there for you, that are there for you. There are limitless channels through which your supply can come. But the minute you then learn to put your reliance on the source, go back to the source that wants your acknowledgement, all of the channels start to open. And I use the analogy of the kitchen faucet. If your kitchen faucet breaks, that is not your source of water. It is a channel for water. There are so many other sources where you can get water. It's not the source. So what we need to do is stop putting our reliance on that one channel and making it our source and opening ourselves up to all of the channels waiting for us, for us to, we can receive from all sides of the universe. And that's when it's a lot of fun, too, because when those channels, when we do the prosperity work and we develop our consciousness and the channels open up that are so magical. It's not magic, but it is magical. That's the most exciting. When seeing unexpected income, that's why, my program and the book, the upcoming book, is 2 weeks to unexpected income with the simplest prosperity laws available. Unexpected income. Anybody can teach you how to get income if you do the outer world things, but when you do the inner world things and you have the surprises, the unexpected income and those striking manifestations, what could be more exciting than that, Heidi?
Oh, absolutely. Then you want more of it. And you want to
do
more
of it. Well, you do more homework and you keep it going. You do the homework and you feel you become so good at this that it becomes your way of life. And the interesting thing is when you start doing the techniques and you start applying the principles. But my students have told me that for years, but I felt it too. When I do the homework, when I do the lesson work, when I apply this, things will start happening that are very striking. But you know something? You almost forget that it's unusual because your subconscious mind has gotten a new message. The message is this is natural. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then you look back and you say, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Because after a while, it becomes like it's just natural. People tend to forget that how it was before. You have put yourself into a whole new, you haven't lied to yourself. You've created a whole new consciousness. If anything, the lie is what you're living today. If you're not getting enough income and your needs aren't met and the clients aren't coming and you're not growing, that's the lie about you. I'm telling you, that's the lie. That's not the reality. And I will argue with anyone who says that's reality. That is not a reality. Life is not about struggle and strain. Life pushes onward and upward. Life is about growth. That's the tendency of life. If we're not experiencing that, then we're just not aligned. We are playing out our conditioning. We're playing out our old conditioning. And that can change. That's the fantastic news, is that we can change that. It'll all be changed. Those deep-seated belief systems, I don't care how deep they are, they can be changed. All it takes is to create a new dominant thought in the subconscious, and it's not that difficult if you have the tools to do it. 2 weeks. My student, my average student, 2 weeks. From the time I began teaching, I noticed that. And in my studies in hypnosis, I never became a hypnotist, but I studied in that area, and I studied with some of the great forerunners in that area about the subconscious. That's where I got my knowledge of the subconscious. And it was always 21 days to 30 days to break a habit. It used to be 21 days in psychological circles. Yet when I started teaching, my students would apply lesson one, and within 2 weeks, sometimes within days, they'd have a result. But I always said 2 weeks to keep going. Make sure that, you know, you recreate that new dominant thought. But within 2 weeks, things would start to change, and money would come, and striking things would happen. And then one night, one of my students called me up. She said, did you see the Discovery Channel last night? I said, no. What? She said, it was something about the mind. It was a show on the mind, and they're now saying it takes 2 weeks to create a new neural pathway in the brain. So I had just kind of, the universe gave me those lessons. That was the gift I was given. I said, if I'm supposed to teach, give me this, this, and this. Give me a way that people can apply this and get results quickly. And I just happened to be given those techniques that allowed my students to create those new neural pathways, the new dominant thought. So 2 weeks, it can all change, even if you've had a lifetime. Of the opposite. And, you know, you don't have to listen to me. I'd rather you go see what everyone else says, what my students say. But this is how I only teach what I experienced and what I did when I took all that knowledge that was in my head and started applying it and did the homework. My life changed drastically. And I really would invite all the listeners. I wrote in 2006, I wrote my entrepreneurial memoir on Rise, where I met you, Heidi. Rise was very, really active at that time, and I had my network, and I wrote my memoir. I didn't know I was going to write it. It just kind of came out in segments. Well, it's still free to read there. It's my entrepreneurial memoir, and by the third post, it attracted a literary agent, and then he pushed me for a how-to proposal, and I got book deal, and everything just was like destiny. I didn't look for any of it. But the memoir itself, if you want to see how I actually use this to turn around my consciousness and create my business, and how all the clients came to me and how I apply these laws, go read the memoir. It's free to read. The original version is still free to read on Rise, and you can find the link on my website. And it's now a manuscript and will be published, but I really will always leave it free for everyone to read, because that will show you that, yes, this can be done in a real-world business. I was using this way before I ever thought. I never would have imagined I'd be teaching these principles today. But I turned my life around, and I kept getting knocked down. Now, the interesting part is that the universe handed me an industry, a business. I didn't even know the special event industry existed before. It handed me the perfect industry because I was hit by every disaster. And every recession, the hospitality and special event industry is the first to be affected by any disaster. We had the Los Angeles riots, where the world thought we were up in smoke. Los Angeles was up in smoke. We had the Northridge earthquake, and conventions were canceling. And, you know, again, the media made us look like a pile of rubble. 9/11, we had the early recession, the early 90s. And you know something? I was being groomed. When I wrote that memoir, I realized that power was grooming me and teaching me what worked and what didn't work, so one day I would teach people. And if I had not been in a business that could teach me these laws, if I did not go through those, being knocked down in order to have to pull myself up, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And I didn't know any of this at the time. So I think all of us, each one of you, every one of us, has a destiny in work that we're supposed to do, that only you can do, something that you're supposed to do, that you are being prepared for. But it's your job to tune in and to overcome the faulty, you know, the stinking thinking. Learn how the laws work so you can tune into your destiny, so your business can flourish and your life can flourish.
So then, Marilyn, you talked a lot about tuning into or finding or connecting with our source of supply. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think people might be a little confused or might want to know how to do that. how do we open our pipeline and create the connections to our true source of supply?
Well, I think I've pretty much touched on that. Is we do it through the subconscious mind. We must deal with the mental. If everybody could just, you know, look, if everybody watched the movie The Secret and reads the books and takes the courses, if everybody could just sit and visualize what they want and pull it in, everybody would be walking around snapping their fingers and manifesting whatever they wanted. The reason they don't, the reason with all of the knowledge that has become even mainstream, people aren't getting results and are still looking for the magic potion, is because they are not addressing the resistance of the subconscious. I don't think there's a lot. I don't know for sure because I don't know other people's courses, but I kind of know what's going on out there. I don't think that's addressed enough. That's not addressed. We need to deal with the resistance of the subconscious mind. Now, affirmations. Everybody knows about affirmations. I don't even teach affirmations until my second lesson. I do give my students two affirmations in lesson one that I compose purposely to speed the process, but they don't use their own affirmations. They don't compose affirmations until later. And the reason is that if you use affirmations and your subconscious mind resists, not only will it not work, will the affirmation not work, but it may get worse. In other words, if you were to say something like, oh, I'm prosperous and my business is booming and I have lots of money coming in, and your subconscious mind doesn't really believe that. Remember, subconscious doesn't want to change. It's supposed to be static for our life, to sustain our life. But it's also static with all that negative thinking and those faulty beliefs. And it's going to fight you. It's going to argue. And the minute you get an argument from the subconscious, you're lost. In fact, if you were to say I'm wealthy or I'm prosperous, and your subconscious, oh yeah, look at that pile of bills. Who are you kidding? What are you thinking more of now?
The pile of bills.
Yeah, you're now thinking. It's creating a more of a lack consciousness, and things can get worse. So one of the ways to overcome the resistance of the subconscious mind is through the power of words, and I use certain words. There are certain words that I use in lesson one that change the dominant thought without creating resistance. That's the key. We need to create that dominant thought without creating resistance. The husband has to gently impregnate the wife. The wife can't argue. If the wife argues, that's it. Marriage is gone. So we need to gently coerce the subconscious to accept the ideas that we want. And I found for me and with my students, my students over the last 7 years have only confirmed what worked for me. And I can only teach what I know. I can't teach what other people have experienced and what I don't know. I only teach what I teach. Is every principle, every technique I teach is what I've used myself. It's the only way I can do this. But if we can gently coerce the subconscious with the right words and with the right techniques to accept the new thought, we're home. And that's dealing with the mind. And as soon as we create that new thought of prosperity in the mind, we will automatically be opened to our source. The only thing stopping us is the mind. It's that barrier. We need to open the pipeline. And that's how we do it, through the mind. And, of course, there are other techniques, the reliance on source versus channels, law of reverse. There are many aspects to it, but it's not that difficult. Gratitude is a wonderful. I recently did a gratitude call, and I send it to everybody for Thanksgiving. Well, last year I did it twice, once in 2004, and I did the call last year again, and this I felt very generous this Thanksgiving. So although it sells for $97, I gave it to everybody. But anybody who wants the gratitude call, well, it's so important. We shouldn't wait till Thanksgiving to conjure up the gratitude in our lives. It should be a constant state. And when we create that new dominant thought, prosperity, we live in a state of gratitude instead of a state of what was me? Where are my clients? Why can't I make it? Because what you're thinking and feeling, remember, is just going to perpetuate the same condition. You will continue getting the same thing as long as that dominant thought remains the same. So that's how we make our connection. Through we deal with the mind, which opens up the channels to our source. And again, how you perceive, whatever you perceive that source to be. be, whether it's religious or spiritual or scientific.
So then you talk about gratitude with, and being thankful and saying thank you, and I think saying it out loud, saying it over and over is very powerful, and I've learned that from you and from other people that I've studied with, and I think that probably that in my life anyway, waking up in the morning and saying thank you, God, or thank you, higher power, for my gifts today, it just make, when I forget to do that, and I do forget because I think we're human, we get busy or we jump out of bed, we're late for this, we're late for that, it's just like my day does not go as well as the days that I do that. And you can take just an extra 30 seconds and just be grateful for, you know, all the wonderful things in your life, and it, pretty soon those wonderful things tend to dominate, and I know you're talking about dominating our thoughts, they dominate all the negative things that might be happening in our life. So I think that's a very powerful principle. And you also talk about some of the words that we may habitually use that are throwing up roadblocks to our success. Can you share some of those with us?
Before I do that, could I touch on something with this gratitude that I think is very important about gratitude?
It's your call, whatever you want, Marilyn.
Well, I also lose track of time. I lose the track of time.
I know.
So kind of keep me in tow here. I just feel this important. As Heidi said earlier, I go with the flow, and if something needs to be said, I just say it. I feel it coming through. This idea of gratitude, everything that Heidi said is so important and so true. But in my gratitude teachings and in my gratitude call, I'm not addressing what Heidi was talking about. Yes, being grateful for what we have is paramount. It's very important. But there's another aspect of gratitude that is the manifest. We're talking about going back to how do we tune into our source? How do we come aligned with our source? The aspect of gratitude that I teach is different. I teach people how to use gratitude to attract what they don't yet have. In other words, yes, we need to be grateful for what we do have, and that will multiply, it will expand. But if we can become grateful for what we don't have yet, what we don't see, but what we want, that is so powerful. That's like I call it the umbilical cord to the universe. And it pulls that desire to you. It fulfills your desire. Now, remember back before we were talking about there's only now in the subconscious, and what we were thinking and feeling now becomes our future, that the mind can only attract first what it believes is an existing reality. Remember that? Well, what happens when we start expressing gratitude for what we don't have yet, the mind gets the message that it's happening now. Because if we had it, we'd feel grateful, right? So if you can use gratitude to be grateful for what it is that you want, that you don't see yet, that will start pulling it. It'll speed it towards you. That's a very powerful process for becoming aligned with your source. I just wanted to mention that about the gratitude. Now, the words that are, you said, are they preventing, holding us back, the words that are keeping us from success, is that what you asked? Heidi?
Yes.
Oh, you're there?
That's what
you
I said.
About,
no, yeah. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm
so you were talking about the words, right? That I think
yes.
I remember.
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What do you think? There's going to be a tip here, another tip. What do you think is the most immediate thing you can do right now, this moment, on the phone, well, when you get off the phone, or if you're on mute and you're talking, what is the most immediate thing you could do this moment to change your circumstances and change your income and your cash flow and change situations in your life? What do you think is the most immediate thing you can do right now? You probably know because you're a student, but... Are they muted or unmuted?
I don't believe anybody's muted, so if anybody would like to answer that question.
Yeah, anybody want to think about that for a couple seconds, and anybody want to offer an answer? What do you think is the most immediate thing you can do right now to start changing your circumstances? I mean right now or as soon as you're off the call. Anyone there that would like to offer an answer? I had a feeling they were muted. I don't know why. No? You know what it is, Heidi, don't you?
Remember? Well, I think so.
All right.
And I want to hear it from you.
All right. Well, the most immediate
Here's
thing,
a teacher.
The most immediate thing you can do right now to start changing your life is to change your words. Period. Change your words. Change the words that you speak. Change the words to represent, to reflect those spoken by a successful person. Words that represent what you want in life. Eliminate the words or phrases from your vocabulary that represent the opposite of what you want. I have a quote, if you don't want it, don't say it. Now, so you could begin this right now. Changing your thoughts might take, maybe not be done as quickly, but by changing your words, you'll be well on your way to changing your undesirable thought patterns and changing your life and your finances. I want you to remember that your words have tremendous power. You got to believe that. Don't doubt that fact. They're an open sesame to your life. So I would ask you, how many times today have you either said aloud or said to yourself, I can't afford? That's a perfect example.
Right.
Or you talked to a vendor or a supplier for the service. You said, no, I can't afford to pay those prices, your prices. How many times have you said that? Well, we learn in Feel Free to Prosper, we learn in the program, not to change our words and our phrasing. Every word you say drops into the subconscious, and the subconscious thinks that's what you want. Subconscious mind takes our words literally. It does not reason or think. That's why I said it's the passive receptive aspect of mind. It does not judge. It doesn't reason. We do that with the conscious mind. Subconscious will accept your words and thinks that's what you want, and you'll keep getting more of the same. You won't be able to afford anything. Keep saying it. And if you say it to your children, I'm telling you that you're doing them a great disservice. You want to have happy, healthy children. You want your children to grow up to be happy, healthy, successful adults. Stop telling them you can't afford. Don't tell them you don't have the money. There are other ways. If they want to buy something and it's you don't have the money, you just say no. You're the parent. You're the boss. If they say why, say because I'm your mommy or daddy, and I said no. Don't tell them you don't have money. That's it. Come on, you're the parent. But you're doing them. It's, you know, you can joke about it, but it's really actually very, very serious. The greatest legacy you can give your children is to acquire prosperity consciousness, because they're going to pick up your consciousness. Don't doubt that. They will have your consciousness. That's why I have so many students who have come to me, brilliant, talented business people and people looking for their place in life, who have been totally, totally conditioned by negative parental thinking or influence or outside influence or even certain negative religious beliefs. So what I'm saying is watch your words. You can say to you're looking for a service, you want to, you're calling up and you need service in your business, let's say, and somebody's prices are high. You say, you learn how to use words constructively so your subconscious doesn't get the wrong message. You could say, oh, I would love to use your service. Can you give me a better price? Can you accommodate my budget? Instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't afford your services, see the difference?
Yeah.
It's an amazing difference. Somebody, these are some of the examples I have in my lesson work that I got from students, actually. Somebody calls you up and wants you to donate to a cause, and you know you don't have the money to do it. Don't say, I can't afford it. Say, oh, you know, if you'll call me back next year, I'll be happy to contribute then. I'll donate the next time when you have the next fundraiser. Watch what you're saying to your subconscious. Don't complain about, get this last year I did a lot of interviews and radio shows about progression, not recession. Don't talk about the state of the economy. Don't talk about recession. Talk about progression. I don't care what's going on in the economy on the outside. 2008, we were pretty much at the height of the recession, right? It was full-blown just a couple years ago. Well, something happened that was very similar to what happened to me in the early 90s during the recession. Do I have time to talk about that? I think it'll inspire.
It's your time. We have plenty of time, Marilyn. I may just have to leave the call, but I want you to share everything you can because I think it's so important.
Oh, no,
so
if you don't leave the call, if you leave me on my own, I won't know you're there now.
I'll let you know when I have to go. That's 10 minutes I have to leave, so
I could
we're good.
For a while, if the people come on the line and we can talk to them, yeah, if there's no host, at least if I know the people in the line, I could stay on for questions. Back in the early 90s, We were in the same thing. It was recession. The special event industry, hospitality industry, was the first to be hit, and everybody was complaining there's no business. And the nation was in recession. It was late 80s, early 90s. And I didn't listen to it. I wouldn't listen to what people in my industry were saying. I wouldn't let them talk to me about it. And I stayed home and buried myself in my lessons and in the teachings and the prosperity work. And out of the blue, the Los Angeles Business Journal called me to sell me advertising. And I told you I never advertised. So I said to the woman, I'm sorry I don't advertise. But for some reason, something kicked in. My intuition kicked in, the guidance system. And I said to her, do you accept articles from outside writers? This happened to be for a meeting and convention supplement to the Los Angeles Business Journal, and this supplement would be sent to a couple of other cities. And I had never written anything in my life. I know it's hard to believe when you see my writing now. I never wrote anything till I got online 7 years ago. I had never written an article, never written anything, and yet I said it. I didn't even know why I said it, but I just went with what happened. And she said, well, I'm in sales. You'd have to call editorial. And I called editorial. And I asked if I could, you know, write an article. And, you know, they didn't promise anything. So, well, send us a floppy disk, a double-spaced hard copy and a floppy disk, and we'll see. No promises. Well, I sat down, and I said, universe, give me an article. And I sat down, and I wrote on my typewriter. And I didn't have no computers back then. On my typewriter, unique venues for off-site events. That's a term that meeting planners use, off-site events. And I painted these word pictures of all the wonderful places we have in Los Angeles for meeting planners to have their convention parties. And I didn't even mention my business. So it wasn't until the end of the article that it said, Marilyn Janae is the owner of Marilyn Janae Locations, a special event location and production company in Los Angeles. And that was it. No websites back then. They didn't allow you to put telephone numbers in. Well, I grossed $250,000 from that article. At the height of
wow.
The World Congress of Gastroenterology was coming to Los Angeles for the first time in 45 years. She called me from Lake Success, New York. Believe it, Nassau County, Lake Success, New York, and said, I came back from a trip and someone had put this article on my desk. That is universal. That is the source guiding. You see, that is the guidance system I talked about, the synchronicity. That is being tuned in so that no matter what is happening on the outside, you can create the space to be provided for. If you create the space inside, those people that have the money will find you. Those clients, those customers who have money to spend, they're going to seek you out. Same thing happened 2 years ago. I gave up that business. Well, Campbell's was the last client, but I hadn't done these one-night events for like 5 or 6 years. Campbell's was more of a promotion thing, and I stopped doing that several years ago, but I really gave up the business entirely. So those one-night corporate and convention events or one-day events, I stopped about 6 years ago. 2 years ago, everybody's complaining on the news, oh, Christmas parties being canceled, no corporate spending, everybody's, you know, sky is falling everywhere. I get two phone calls from $2 billion companies, Nike and Reunion.com, that want me to do their parties. One was they were in town for a meeting, Nike, and they decided at the last minute to do a mansion party, and they were looking for someone to give them a beautiful mansion to use for that last night's dinner. Reunion.com was having a Christmas party. Well, I told them I don't do this anymore. I said, I'm it's a prosperity program now. I'm not doing events. And they kind of sweet-talked me into it, you know. Well, and then I started thinking, you know, I think the universe sent this to me to validate my teachings, because here I was on the radio and doing interviews on progression, not recession, and what better proof that I'm just not pie in the sky, that I practice what I preach here. So I did the two events. It was wonderful to give my vendors of many years, my caterers and the transportation people, give them the business. That was nice. But the interesting thing was is they both spent three times as much as their original budget. The Reunion.com party turned out to be like $70,000, $80,000. Nike spent three times as much. You give the value, they spend the money. And after that last, the second party, I knew I would never do another event. What it also taught me is that I was just not there anymore. That was a very important part of my life, that business, but it was not my value system anymore. My value system is not servicing big corporations and doing special events. My value system is helping individuals and business people like I'm doing now. That's where my heart is. So I knew that I would never do another event after that. But it was proof. You see how the universe stepped in to support what I was saying? And this is what it's about. It's about becoming tuned in so we get that kind of guidance. and those kind of answers. And, of course, I've had a lot of practice at this. But anybody can do this, and it's not going to take you 30 years. I'm telling you, you can do it. You can start changing everything in 2 weeks if you have the tool.
So then, with all of these great principles and that you've been sharing, if we could pick just one thing, Marilyn, to do right now to increase our income, what should that be?
What I just talked about before is changing your words. Change your words.
Change your words.
That's it. That is, yeah. You kind of jumped ahead there. Yeah, change your words.
And of course, and I agree.
Of course, the one thing that I would love everyone to do is to take my Feel Free to Prosper program. I want them to be success stories. But that's going to be their decision.
Absolutely. So you just said the magic word. So why don't you tell our listeners about the Feel Free to Prosper program and the offer.
Oh, you mean the offer that we have for them?
Yeah, and how our guests can learn more and sign up.
Well, we sent Heidi, I think, yeah, you sent out the link to the page, and you're going to send that also to with the replay. There is a page that we made just for Heidi with the special prices and a special offer for the Manifestors program, which is my flagship program. And it consists of 8 sessions, all the Feel Free to Prosper lessons. There are 4 main lessons, and then there are 2 bonus lessons, but the 4 main lessons are the meat of the Feel Free to Prosper program, and it's 2 months. So you're going to do the, remember, 2 weeks to create a new neural pathway in the brain. So you do a new lesson every 2 weeks, but it's all guided. All the instructions are there. It's easy. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes a day to do the homework. Not time consuming. And then you can listen to the audios each week. And the results just happen. And it's guaranteed. I have a 60-day guarantee. So it's, there's no risk. But you can read all about it on the page. There's a link to an overview that tells you what each session is about and what the lessons are about, and you can read about that. But I can only tell you that I've been doing this 7 years, and that is the program. I'm not one of these teachers that is really about always. I do have some secondary programs that I have created when I've been prompted to, and it's just happened. But I'm not a teacher that always has to have something new. That's not my goal is not to, oh, what can I invent that's new? To what's the new act now? I can't do that. What I have is something that works, and it's more important to me that more people, that I take my gift to more people than always having to create a new gift. This is my gift. This is what works, and this is what I offer. This is what I offer you. This is my heart offering and my soul offering, and this is my life's work. And as I said, if you gravitate, you'll know. Something in you will know if I'm the right teacher for you. And I believe that everybody that comes to me and everybody that orders my programs or comes to me for mentoring, that is divine appointment. I've always believed that. I believed that when my former business, that every client, I booked every client that came to me. You know why? Because the ones that weren't supposed to be mine went somewhere else. My own came to me. That's right.
Isn't that an amazing principle? I feel that way about weddings. I've been in the floral business for 29 years, and this is the year of change for me. So I can totally tell you I'm right there, and I'm ready for this. I need to change those dominant thoughts in my subconscious. So Marilyn, I just want to say thank you. You know, we're like, oh gosh, it's 5:15. And
hey, we're not too bad. Well, I did.
I think we're doing great. And I want to thank everybody for being here and for listening in and for hanging in and calling in on the new number when we had problems with the first. And thank you, Marilyn, for, you know, sharing your time and you know, what you truly believe. And I know this stuff works, so I think it's fabulous that we were able to share just a microscopic view of what's ahead for people. And, of course, if you want to go to learn more about the program, you can go to feelfreetoprosper.com/Heidi, because that's my page, as Marilyn said, and you'll get a special offer on that page. And you can see all about it, and you can see the wonderful testimonials. You can read a little bit about what I've experienced. And just check it out and see if it's for you. And I will be sending Marilyn, as soon as you send me the audio, I'll send out the audio to everybody in a link and share it on Facebook and in email. So, Marilyn, this has been really great. You know, I had another appointment at 5:30, so I want to thank you for your patience with me. And if you want to stay on and chat, if people would like to chat and if anybody has any questions, you know, that would be great.
I don't know if people are unmuted. Is someone there that has a question?
Hello?
Hello?
I thought I heard somebody.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Okay, Heidi, do you need to go? You have your, is it your grandson? You have appointment, don't you, or something?
Yeah, my grandson is actually in a Christmas pageant tonight, a grandson and granddaughter,
oh,
so we're
then
actually
go.
Heading
then
out.
Go.
But thank you, everybody, for being here. Marilyn, thanks a lot, and we'll chat tomorrow, okay?
All right, I'll take the calls from now, the call from
all right.
now on. Okay, thank you,
thank
Heidi.
You so much. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks, Heidi.
Bye. Okay, yeah, hi.
Hi, I just,
What's your name?
This is Lisa calling from Italy.
Lisa, oh, what a good connection from Italy. Good, hi.
Yeah, I hit, if anyone else is interested, I hit the star six again to get back in.
All right, everybody hit star six and it will unmute you in case some of you are trying to talk and you're not being heard. Hit star six again. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I did. And then I've been working a lot with some of, I think I'd read about, I read your website a long time ago and I've been following things like that. And I think that, what happens is that what I'm pursuing, which is what I love, isn't what I'm supposed to be doing from what everyone tells me and other, you know, I work with angels and things like that. So, you know, I blog, people love my writing. Everyone keeps saying, why aren't you writing a book? Why aren't you writing a book? And when I went out one day and said, okay, I'm going to finally turn the blog into a book, I immediately that day met a woman who said she would be my agent. Mm-hmm. And so, so these things happen to me all the time. But I think that, I think I have an underlying belief, and you're saying it's in the subconscious, that if I stop pursuing my business side of things, like you had your business and then you went into teaching, I'm afraid that I'm not going to make money just writing the book or waiting for it to be published or whatever it is. And so as a result, I'm constantly pursuing my regular business, which I like, and I'm not getting anywhere, though, in either direction. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, so when do you stop and say, okay, I'm not even going to pursue that other stuff anymore. I'm just going to focus on the writing and see where that takes me. Because I'm very blessed. Every time that I do just say, okay, universe, you know, like I'm really into this. So I always get an opportunity, business or otherwise. Something always comes up.
Because
but
you're
it's
not
still
trying.
Not where I want to be.
You've learned not to try. You've set your mind and you've given your subconscious that message. Well, I have a question for you. Who are these people?
That every like tonight I was out with some friends before calling on the call, and every you know someone a couple of them who read my blog I blog about things about Italy, and they said, oh my, you know, when are you going to write a book? I love your blog. You are such a good writer. You should be writing. I mean, everyone tells me this all the time.
Well, but wait a minute, isn't that what you want to do?
I fight it constantly, but.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about one thing. I thought the people were telling you not to do what you love.
No, they're telling me to write. That's not what I do for a living. I'm an editor. I do other things. I work with museums in Italy. I do other things. I produce some, you know, audio guides for museums. I edit scripts and things, but there's not a lot of money in that business.
Are you on your own or do you work for someone else?
I used to be working for someone else. I've been on my own for about 6 years, and it's been quite a struggle.
Okay, and you're
self-supporting? For example, I would work on a huge project, and you don't get paid. Work on another huge project, you don't get paid.
Why don't you get paid? Okay, let me ask you, why don't you get paid? What do you mean you don't get paid? Are these for commercial, for museums? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, commercial, mm-hmm. Or
why
private companies.
Why don't you get paid?
I don't know.
Why are you doing the work if you don't get paid? Why don't you get a deposit?
I think what happens is, when you do, for example, this one company, it's an American company, actually, that just didn't pay me about $18,000. what happens is you have to do the work before you get paid. You have to hand in the materials or hand in the book.
Who,
in this
who
case,
said
it was
that?
Books.
Who said that you have to do the work? Who? What law is that? What field is that? Is that in editing?
We're doing in this case, it was translation and editing. And generally, when you translate, they give you things. They're not going to pay you. Sometimes you can get like 50% up front and 50% on delivery.
Yeah. You have to get deposit. Why aren't you getting the deposit?
I do get. I did about 4 books for them, and then they didn't pay the last 2.
Why didn't they pay you?
They were having financial difficulties. The company itself.
Well,
and
you know,
but I think I tend to find companies like this too. You know,
and it's that. Well, that's what I was going to say, Lisa. You have to, first of all, you have to make up your mind. Are you going to continue doing that work? And if you do continue, obviously you have a talent for it. If people owe you thousands of dollars, then you certainly have a skill that's marketable, but you are not attracting your ideal clients. Now, the interesting thing is in the special event industry, and I know they're different businesses, but just as an example,
mm-hmm.
in the special event industry, most of the – I don't know exactly how everyone got paid, but I do know that they all got deposits, and then usually the rest could be after an event – whether they're caterers or florists. I think a lot of them got paid the night of the event or after the event.
Mm-hmm.
I never did that. I never did. There was no event unless those companies paid me. We're talking companies. That's why I'm bringing this up, because you're not talking individuals. You're doing this for
right.
There was no event unless all of my vendors and everyone was paid. I used to ask 2 weeks before, and then I'd get it the last minute. So then I'd ask a month before, and I might get it 2 weeks before. But until everyone was paid, there was no event. I set the rules. I set, and that was not an industry standard.
Right.
You know, they could have said, well, how do we know that, you know, the caterer will show up? How do we know everything? Then
right.
It entered my mind. They want my service. I gave them the best service, and clients kept coming back to me, but they paid me up front, and that's it. Now, I don't know if in editing you can do that, but if you can set your own rules there, but I definitely would not, if a company did not pay you even one time, I would not continue working for them until they paid up.
I know.
It sounds to me like you're continuing to do their work even though you weren't being paid. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, twice.
Now, I cannot tell you, okay, I'm going to be, without getting, you know, into two, like a long mentoring session here, I will
right.
I'll tell you this. I cannot tell you what your exact answer is. If I were mentoring you, I probably would because I do the business thing comes through in my mentoring. But I can tell you
okay.
this. I don't know what the exact answer is for you. I do know that there is an answer. I guarantee you there's an answer. The answer is not continuing to work for companies who don't pay you.
Right.
That is a business that is ongoing, and the world wouldn't be turning if there wasn't work being edited and jobs for you to do. And there are good clients for you that will pay you.
Right.
And there's something in your consciousness. I will tell you that subconsciously, yes, you're not asking enough for yourself, Lisa.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you build a prosperity consciousness, so that you know your worth and you know that you are a child of the universe and you deserve to prosper, just like you deserve to breathe. You deserve to take in the air that's here. Well, abundance is nothing more than spiritual substance. Money is nothing more than spiritual substance. And I think that what you need to do is, yes, you need to go tap into the subconscious. You don't have to the people that gravitate to me if they have chemical imbalances, let's say there's some kind of a mental thing going on where they need therapy, they're not going to gravitate to me if they need help in that direction. They will go get their medication first, then they'll come to me. Then they're fine. Then they, you know, in fact, there was a psychiatrist one time in Ireland and said, well, what do you do if someone comes to you and they're hostile and angry and have all kinds of mental problems? And I said, yeah, those kind of people aren't going to be coming to me to increase their prosperity. And if they did, I'd send them to you, and you straighten them out and then send them to me for a prosperity tune-up. But the point I'm making is that the people that gravitate to me are people that just have the faulty belief systems.
Right.
So
that's
you don't
right.
need to go through, I don't believe you need to go through therapy or do anything to change mm-hmm. your life. You need to change those thought patterns. You need
yeah.
to change the subconscious patterns to one where you will automatically attract not only the right clients, if you choose to stay in that business, or you'll be guided that intelligence will guide you to what you're supposed to be doing if it means letting go of the other business. Or it means, now my business, I had it. As I said, Campbell's came out of the blue. That was the cushion that allowed me to grow Feel Free to Prosper. Okay?
I see.
So it doesn't, I didn't just stop everything and then say, okay, what do I do now? It was like the natural, I was guided, it was a natural transition. And I didn't know, like you, I didn't know where, how, is this, could this be a livelihood? I was selling lessons at the time. I didn't have the audio programs. It was at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And out of the blue, a fluke phone call, not even from a business source, a fluke phone call, I got Campbell's Soup. And for 3 years, I did those six promotions. I took very little time. And I just, I found the locations using my guidance system. I had never booked anything outside of, domestic, outside of the country before. Finding a castle in Europe, they asked me to find a castle in Europe for the second promotion. Finding a castle in Europe that had to be so perfect for children. You know, you're in Europe. There are thousands of castles, and most of them would not be very kid-friendly. So now how I found it, by the way, I asked the universe. I remember leaving that meeting. He said, well, we had just done the one in Malibu, the Malibu Superstar Mansion, Superstar, S-O-U-P, Superstar Mansion promotion. He said, can you find us, we're going to do another promotion. Can you find us a castle in Europe? And I said, that was the marketing company I was meeting with. They had flown out. I said, sure, Chad, I can. I mean, without skipping a beat. And then I got in my car, and I said, oh, my God, what do I do now? I've never booked anything in Europe. And to find a castle with all of these restrictions and all of these details that we needed. And I said, okay, what do I do? And my inner voice, the guidance said, put a post on Rise. I was on the social networking site Rise. I posted on two networks, and a young woman in Mississippi found me Eastern Castle.
Oh,
and
God.
I booked it twice for Campbell's Canada and Campbell's U.S. Paid her a very handsome finder's fee. So the point I'm saying is that when we ask, when we tune in, when we become practiced at this, and we learn to listen to that guidance, and I talk to the universe, talk to God, whatever you believe that to be. Mm-hmm. You condition your mind to accept. See, I teach people how to receive.
Yeah, that's
most of us know how to give. You're giving. You're giving of your talents, and you're not receiving enough. I teach you how to receive. And when you learn how to receive, the answers come.
I see.
Now, right now, your book, what you're saying, the writing a book, have you done anything to do that, to put that in book form?
Well, yeah, I wrote it like 2 years ago, and then I just want to edit it and finish it, and it's just sitting on my desk. It's been ready for a long time.
Why haven't you done anything with it?
I don't know. People will ask me to edit their books, and I will devote my every waking moment to their books, and I won't do it with my own. There's a block there. I have no idea, but I'm pretty committed now.
Why did you come to this call today? Why do you think you were drawn to this? Did you go to all of Heidi's calls, or did you feel that?
No, I wasn't. I haven't gone to Heidi's. In fact, I don't even get her emails so often anymore. And I got your email, and I have butterflies all over my room here, which I noticed that you use.
Are you on? Are you on my list? You're on my newsletter list?
No, but I just signed up. I had gone.
But how did you get my?
Years.
You said you got my. You got my. What did I didn't send an email. I only sent one to my.
Yeah,
my
no, team. I had seen your site many years ago. I just ran
how
into.
Did you know?
It.
How did you know about the call? You said you.
Oh, Heidi sent me the message. Heidi sent me.
Well,
the email.
It was from Heidi. Well,
yeah, it was from Heidi, but I don't get her regularly.
The only thing I can tell you is that it's probably, and this is generally what happens with my students, and has happened. Someone will hear me on a call, and they're supposed to be those students that are supposed to be mine are mine. And you may have been led here to take the program to start straightening this out.
Yeah,
because
I feel. I mean, yeah, definitely.
I
think
with anything, I don't do that. I don't sell anybody. It's up to you to sell yourself and whether this is the right thing for you. But you may have been led here today for this reason to start getting this all straightened out and getting your answers and starting to create that dominant thought in the subconscious to start getting.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, because I believe that the common denominator, obviously, is me. In whenever I have all these amazing opportunities, but then something falls through, something goes wrong, and I keep saying, I know it's I am the common thing here.
Well,
and
first of all, let me tell everybody who might be still on the call, stop blaming yourself for it. Stop saying, oh, what am I doing wrong? And stop blaming yourself for anything. Stop that. Stop that right away. Not doing anything wrong on a conscious level. It's a lack of awareness. It's just a lack of knowledge and lack of awareness. That's all. You cannot blame yourself for something that was probably put in your mind when you were a child. proper mentoring you, or actually if you do take the Feel Free to Prosper program, you'll see in the first lesson we talk about the core belief. I ask you to think about that core belief that you had, that you grew up with. But if a child falls down and is learning to walk, you can't blame the child. Well, it's the same way with a prosperity consciousness. If you don't know what's going on below the surface of your mind and life isn't working, you have to stop. The first thing you have to say, I did it. I used to say, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
You have to change all that and say, okay, what can I do with right? We got to change that whole attitude into, okay, now what do I do to change this?
Yeah, it's so important. Uh-huh.
And as I said, you ask your heart and see if you were drawn to me today and drawn to speak up today, because you're supposed to have my teachings to start changing all of this.
I think so.
That's what I can offer you. And I have total faith and conviction in what I teach. No one has ever said it didn't work. If they bought my program and never contacted me, I don't know. But nobody has asked for the refund or said, no, this doesn't work. So all I know is this works. And it works because the people, just like the clients that used to come to me in my former business, the people that come to my program are supposed to be there. This is the right thing for them at that point in time. If it's not right for them, they go somewhere else.
Okay,
Lisa?
Thanks.
I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Yeah, get your book. You need to get your mind on this. And you said you even met an agent. You need to do something with that. Stop doing only for others and take time for building your life now. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Anybody else have any question? Before we say goodbye?
Okay. Well, it was nice listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. All right. It doesn't sound like anyone else is speaking up, so I'm going to say goodbye and thank you. And if you are there, some of you haven't unmuted, just, you know, thanks very much for spending the time. And go forth and prosper.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.